Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 11th of January, recording at 9:05 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first, a quick review of the week. For stock markets, it was mostly a week of selling pressure. There were exceptions in Asia. The mainland China indices were firm, as was India, as was Indonesia, and also Malaysia. I think plantation shares riding the palm oil boom were a big factor in those last two markets, Indonesia and Malaysia. In Europe, the DAX was perhaps the steadiest, but generally we had a weaker tone throughout. And the big shadow was cast, of course, by Wall Street, which has remained vulnerable. It had steadied on Wednesday and Thursday, but took a pretty big hit in here today, closing down nearly 2% on the Dow, and on the NASDAQ composite, somewhat slightly smaller decline on the S&P 500. And against that background, government bonds were quite firm again throughout the week. The U.S. dollar sort of seesawed in quite a tight range, a little bit either side of 76 on the U.S. dollar index, and it's currently just above that level here today. Modest rally by the dollar today. For precious metals, gold and silver have gone gangbusters here this week, including pretty well shrugging off any contagion from the Wall Street sell-off. And we also have seen platinum and palladium pretty firm here within what look like rising consolidation patterns. We have seen the agricultural commodities very strong in here today, and don't I feel like Muggins, having sold my wheat and particularly my corn position a couple of days ago ahead of the USDA announcement. And they were very strong in here following the announcement. Corn's been locked in limit up all day, and wheat and soybeans closed with strong gains. Particularly soybeans of those two. The crude oil price eased a bit in here today, 92.75 in after hours trading. And I didn't give the gold price, but that got up to a high here today. It's up over $2, nearly $3 here today. But it got up to $8.98 at one point, so close to that $900 level. Currently $8.95.70. what else? Industrial metals were mostly steady, so it was a good week for commodities generally. Okay, crude oil being an exception to that, and the oil complex in general easing a bit in here. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, this morning when I was in the home gym, I saw the CNBC commentators, a number of them saying, well, didn't Bernanke make a confident, bold statement of intent? And well, I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder, and forgive me if what I'm about to say sounds a bit cruel, but I thought Bernanke looked like one of those hostages who's being forced to make a statement. In other words, he didn't have any conviction, and he didn't look to me as if he believed what he was actually saying. And well, that's a subjective comment. What I don't think is so subjective is that really what he's talking about, coming in and willing to cut interest rates, that's nothing other than what some of us have been screaming for him to do really for quite some time. So I feel the risk here, the danger, the reality I fear, is that the markets, investors have lost confidence in the Fed and also the administration in terms of their ability to and willingness to step in and stem the problems, which I think have a big psychological component to them. I mean, there's certainly no doubt that the crisis for the banking sector is a very, very real one, but sentiment is playing a big role in here, and particularly regarding consumer spending. And yes, the consumers are tapped out in terms of being way overextended, but the problem, the risk here is that it's not all that difficult when there's a slowdown, when confidence is fragile. It's not all that difficult for people to talk themselves into a recession. And that's where I think that the Fed and the Treasury have been amiss in terms of their moves. Again, that's perhaps a bit of a contentious point. But the end result is that we certainly are going to get more moves, and eventually they'll catch up with the curve. So I do expect some big interest rate cuts. I think it would be very foolish of the Fed not to cut rates by 50 basis points, and I don't know why they couldn't do it before the next sort of calendar period in which they would consider, which is, I believe, is at the end of January. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see, I will, I expect some kind of economic package of incentives involving tax cuts for the poorer people and middle classes. And I think that would be a generally good thing overall. But of course, it hasn't happened yet, and the markets are still weak. Wall Street still remains quite weak. Statistically, this is still in correction territory, but of course, it isn't over until it's over. And it can easily, I mean, the technical action has been poor, although if one's looking for rays of light. I noticed that with the Dow down 246 points in here today, that the banks index was actually up on the day. Merrill Lynch, you've been talked about with a huge write-off. They're forecasting, some people are forecasting, I think the New York Times had an article forecasting another $15 billion write-down. And that moved back up into its previous trading range. In other words, it had broken down earlier in the week and is pushed back up into the range, albeit not much. But this is pretty tentative stuff. Anybody looking at those charts sees all that big overhang of supply, all that churning top formation activity, broken below the moving average and stayed below it. So it's still quite weak here. Interesting article from the Telegraph on the plunge protection team being reactivated. Well, they need it. And in terms of contagion, the inevitable first victims in terms of contagion from Wall Street tend to be the European markets, and we've certainly seen that, particularly where the U.S. banks' creative ways of creating disastrous debt packages, debt derivative packages, for their clients, was cloned by financial institutions within Europe, and then of course a number of money managers, not least in pension funds. Have acquired some of those, so the contagion spreads quite clearly into Europe, and it's taken a toll elsewhere to a certain extent. But We've seen more uncoupling so far this time around, as far as the markets are concerned, than I can recall at any other time. For instance, you look at India's banks, and they hit another new high in here today, and the stock market indices in India are up right near their high. They could still turn vulnerable if Wall Street continues to get pounded every day. But it's been a bravura performance so far, and more importantly, economically, India is not suffering from the same sort of credit-related crisis of confidence that we're seeing in the United States and to a considerable degree in Europe. And we also do not have those problems in China. And that Chinese market, albeit still within its medium-term correction, but we've had some good technical evidence going back a couple of months ago that it had bottomed and is gradually working its way higher. The fuller money themes have remained pretty firm in here overall. And of course, the gold shares have been going gangbusters here. Recently, HUI, that gold bugs index, hitting another new high today. So it's certainly not all doom and gloom. And my view really is that these fuller money themes, this, I'm talking about the big secular themes, are not immune to contagion coming from Wall Street, which remains the focal point of global economic concerns. And whole U.S. economy remains a focal point of global economic concerns, and rightly so. Sadly, that's been the case for a very long, long time. But we no longer live in a unipolar world. It's an increasingly multipolar environment, and we have rapidly increasing middle classes. Increasing in terms of numbers, middle classes within the BRICS countries, and they are generating a great deal of consumption, so they're less dependent on U.S. exports than previously. So, this nevertheless, the weaker U.S. economy inevitably slows the global economy overall. That's not going to bother the Chinese much, I don't think, or the Indians. What I maintain, I've said for quite some time, is that it has slowed and lengthened the overall cycle that we're likely to see. I think we should be prepared after a poor end of the year, a soggy end of the year, for the stock markets that have been trouble all along, led by the USA, of course, and Europe, and the rather miserable start to the new year, that we really shouldn't be surprised if we get a bit more of the same for a few more weeks and possibly months, with markets churning, those markets churning at best, and with some downward bias. I wouldn't want to be too bearish in here overall. Those rate cuts will kick in at some point, as will stimulus packages as well. But again, I wouldn't want to be rushing in and buying the U.S. market or the European markets here. I want to stay with the fuller money themes. This is, as I said before, they're not immune to contagion. But some of them have remained exceptionally resilient, and even when they do come down a bit more sharply, they tend to bounce back extremely, extremely quickly. And I think that will remain the case. Okay, long-dated government bonds. I underestimated the extent of the rally potential when those were down. I think reaching lows back in June, and it actually continues in here. And I think, for one very clear, obvious reason, is that people are far more concerned. Investors, that I should say, are far more concerned about the prospects for slowdowns in the Western economies and beyond than they are concerned about inflationary pressures. Now, that will all change when we see evidence of sustained technical evidence of sustained lows in the financial sectors, and also in the indices that are broader indices that are under pressure. And we'll have to wait for later in the year for that quite clearly. But when that does happen, I think then we'll see these bond markets start to unravel, and some of them unravel. The rallies unravel fairly quickly, but that's not an immediate prospect, as as I've said before. The U.S. dollar, a difficult call at this level. I'm not awfully impressed with the arguments in favor of a good rally. One of them that's used most frequently is some historical evidence that the dollar has tended to be a bit firm during recessions. And if this isn't a recession, at least not yet, at any rate, in terms of the two consecutive quarters of negative GDP, it certainly feels like a recession in the US, I have no doubt. But the argument put forward by a lot of these Forex analysts is that when the US had recessions previously, the dollar was often fairly firm. But that was a different environment. That's when we had very much the unipolar world, and that old adage about if the US economy sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold had some genuine validity to it. Here, this time, we're not seeing that for the reasons that I mentioned before. The strength of these other economies, led by Chindia, and the strength of their consumer sectors overall. And they also have a big export market in selling within their own regions and elsewhere around the world. Middle Eastern economies are doing very well. Brazil's doing very well. So we're not seeing an environment overall that I think is conducive to anything other than some short covering rallies in the US dollar. And some people may want to go and buy on the basis of purchasing power parity, but I've always thought that was a pretty lousy indicator overall. And I don't doubt that in an election year that the US is going to go on churning out an awful lot of dollar bills. So, moving on now, what about these precious metal markets? Well, it's been a bit of a perfect storm for them, because the people who like to buy because they feel that there's a more than a whiff of inflation in the air can see it in food prices and energy prices, and the people who buy because they feel the US dollar is vulnerable have had a field day over the last year, and the people who buy because they feel that bad things are happening out there generally have had certainly some evidence to encourage them. And then there are that then there is that large group of traders and speculators who love momentum plays. And the two main momentum plays right now, first the one in the agricultural commodities, led by the beans and grains, which has been running for a while now. But on today's evidence, it's still very much in form. And precious metals, I've been saying it for a while now, that they look positioned for a momentum run here. I wouldn't be surprised Mind you, I'm long, so you want to factor that into your thinking, your assessing of my costs. I've got a vested interest in what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say that I wouldn't be at all surprised if we didn't see this particular medium-term move upwards in the precious metals and in quite a big upward acceleration. And that's not going to be 1 or 2 days higher from here. That's a bit of a bandwagon effect. And if you want to see an example of that, go back to the 1996 move that we saw that had a gradual ranging rise that again turned into an ever steepening upward acceleration, trailing stop territory tactically for those using futures. And I think if we do see a big upward acceleration, that those who are in bullion funds should start thinking in terms of mental stops, because once that ends, those big accelerations are always followed by quite significant at least medium-term corrections. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't go through that cycle again, all within the long term. Overall upward trend. But meanwhile, as I said before, the technical action really is very, very good for those precious metals. And I mentioned the grains and beans. Today's strength on the USDA news, predictably, this is what we've been expecting all along. Been talking about this now, really for several months, that this would indicate that the yields were not as high last year as the USDA had earlier forecasts, and that's clearly the case. But we may be going into an acceleration phase right now, and anybody who's fortunate enough to still be in there, say Muggins here cut his positions a couple of days ago, ought to consider trailing stops in this environment. And you can tighten it up because when a market's ex tighten them up because when a market's accelerating, it's the strongest thing in the world until the day it stops, and then it goes very weak very rapidly most of the time. And industrial metals. Now, their technical action has been fairly good in here, and all sorts of people have been talking them lower on the basis of a slowdown in global GDP growth. Well, I think that risk, to the extent that it actually exists, is more than priced into the markets, and the technical action is saying that these are on their way back up. Where we have seen the big falls, that's mainly in well, the important ones, copper and nickel, very important, and also zinc, which is not an unimportant one. But as to say, these prices are now firming, and they look interesting. And you really will be interested, I think, in Richard Carnes' latest report. He covers this and some of the other Fuller Money themes in an excellent report that I'm using as my lead item here in Comment of the Day, which I'll put up shortly after I complete this audio. And I think that pretty well wraps it up. Crude oil is again, still within this, very much within this ranging upward trend. The same thing that I mean, it's on the higher side of its overall move, so I don't think it has the upward potential from current levels of some of the industrial metals that have had the big medium-term corrections. But crude still remains a secular bull market, and it's right there in the supply inelasticity meets rising demand theme, and this is going to participate for many, many more years, decades perhaps, punctuated, of course, by inevitable volatility and a number of very sharp medium-term corrections, but the long-term trend is strongly upwards. And I think that's pretty much it. So I hope you're benefiting from those booming precious metals in here. And time for me to say, have a great weekend. And no doubt there'll be many interesting developments next week, which I look forward to discussing with you as well. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.